So here we are, Trade Legends, Season 6. No idea on the episode, but we've got the lovely Dave Finnegan, Alward, Mr. Alward Enterprises.
Back again.
He's back again, co-hosting. And we've also got lovely...
You're going to introduce names here.
I'm Becca, known as BUS Gas Check.
And we have...
Holly's Heating.
So we've got two guests tonight, and similar-ish sort of work, slightly different.
Yes.
Heating engineers.
Yes.
Just your
pretty technical.
Just your thing, and it's always nice to actually have some ladies, trade ladies.
Where?
On the show.
Oh, there's one there.
Because that's something actually that I feel like we should have more in the industry. So actually, it's good because anybody that is listening that's thinking about getting into the industry, I think it's a good thing to have. So.
Thank you.
Who do you want to start with first then tonight then, Dave? Who should we...
I'm sat closest to Holly. Let's start with Holly.
What we tend to do is just get you to take us back to sort of how you first became to get into the trade and then sort of your progression to where we are now as what we see on maybe on the social media side of things. So,
back in the day, I wanted to be a marine biologist, right? Okay. Since I was 7 years old, I wanted to be one of those. I loved dolphins, I loved fish and whales and all of that stuff. So I went to uni, studied it, got the degree. Then I got the job and then realised that it's not a very well-paid job and you are literally cleaning out fish crap every day. It's, yeah, not a very nice job. And it's also very political. I found that, you know, the pay wasn't that good and the people around you were always competing against you and I'm not very good with that.
Right.
So
why is that? I mean, this is quite good because I've never met anybody that wanted to be a marine biologist.
Yeah, I mean, it's more about like who you know, if you know what I mean, with marine biology. It's a very select, very niche. If you think of like the David Attenboroughs and the Jacques Cousteau, it's very, you know.
Would it be something that there's not a huge amount of people, but there's only a select amount of jobs and
it's
quite specialised? And
yeah, and there's a lot of people that are willing to do your job for free as well. In terms of volunteering as well. So you can't really buy a house or go on holiday or, you know, actually have a life outside of your job. So after 2 years of doing that, I decided to fuck it. And I moved back home with my parents. And then I just
Where were you doing this as well?
Norfolk.
Norfolk.
So let's go back a bit more.
It's a very quiet place, Norfolk.
Yeah.
Is that home? Is it Norfolk?
No. Kent is home.
Right.
I was born in Kent. And I studied in Plymouth, and then I moved to Norfolk.
You moved around a bit.
Yeah, there's a reason for that, which we'll get into later. And then I came back home to Kent after 2 years after I graduated. There was always something about my personality that didn't quite fit in with the job. So there was sort of like, oh, sorry, I'll try something else, or that doesn't work, I'll try something else. Turns out I've actually got ADHD. But I only found this out 2 years ago. I was late diagnosed with ADHD, and this explains so much about why...
You move from job to job, it sounds familiar.
Job to job, house to house. I've had 9 different addresses in the last, like, 10 years. It's mental.
I totaled up. I've lived in over 30 houses.
30?
In my lifetime, yeah. And my wife always says to me, she says, we're not going to stay here, are we? And I'm like, no.
At least she's very understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's bless. So that resonates with me when you say that.
Yeah, it's knackering, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is tiring because we can't ever really settle, but hopefully where I am now, I am settling down.
So how did that come about then? Because that's something that we don't really talk about too much on
here.
The
ADHD?
Yeah, because there's a few people that have had it on here,
but
we don't talk about it. And it sort of manifests differently in different people. So it sort of from your side, how did that come about? How does it affect your work or anything like that?
Oh, it's everything about my job. Sorry, I'm trying to not go all over the place too much. Basically, I went to a therapist because I felt like there was something ultimately wrong with me because I couldn't fixate on anything. I felt like I was spinning all these plates. I was completely burning myself out, trying to be a perfectionist in absolutely everything, going through relationships, unfortunately. I love you, Dan, by the way. Long-term partner. Love you, Dan.
He'll be gone in 2 weeks.
No, he's certainly not going anywhere.
Sorry, Dan.
He is not
Bye,
going
Dan.
Anywhere. Bless him. And I explained how I was feeling to this therapist, and she basically said to me, she said, it sounds like you've got ADHD. And I was like, shut up. I was like, no, I haven't. And she was like, no, seriously. And I was like, nope. It's not that. I'm not a hyperactive little boy running around the class, that sort of thing. It's never been picked up. And then I went home and Googled it, ADHD in women, and I had every single bloody thing, every single thing. Inattentive, distracting, you know, everything. I can't even think of all of the things.
So that's interesting because recently, last year, I went to the On the Tools Awards dinner thing, and obviously, you know, full of trades, everyone interacting, following each other on social media, and you see like behavioural patterns, and basically,
Brad, we're talking about you.
Yeah, he's definitely part of it.
Home improvements, Brad.
Basically, I think it was, I forget who it was now, so I don't want to just pluck a name out of that, but I saw on, everyone was sharing all their experiences and stories and reels and stuff the next day, and one person did a really, really insightful little reel, and it was like, it was so great to meet all the other trades, and she was a tradie lady herself, and she said, and it's made me realise one thing, that pretty much everyone working in the trades has some form of OCD, ADHD, is on the spectrum somewhere, because no one can sit still, no one can focus on one thing, and it's really apparent that we're all part of this same community doing the same thing for a reason, and yeah, you do see it.
Yeah, that's what I mean when I say that my ADHD is why I do what I do, because it's every aspect of it, in terms of the novelty, every day's different, every boiler's different. I'm out about and I'm moving around and I see one customer and then I see another customer and it's all new. And it's also my business as well. So I've got that sort of, I can be proud of it and I can't just fuck it off, if you know what I mean, and move on to something else. So yeah, when you say about the ADHD, it is literally everything about my job. It's the only thing that hasn't pissed me off enough to move on to something else.
How long have you been doing what you're doing? Because again, somebody that's listening that might have ADHD might be sitting there thinking, well, actually, if I was to get into a trade now, am I actually going to stick at it? Because I did exactly the same as you. The amount of jobs that I chopped and changed, I was pot washing, you know, a bartender, I was working in a supermarket.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, actually, I was just, I'd last 2 weeks because I couldn't.
There was something that didn't sit right. Yeah. I started training for this job when I was 27. So I was a late starter in that. And
was that difficult as well, being 27? Because you've probably been working and you're getting like some good money and then maybe having to sort of start at 27 and think.
Yeah, on £40 a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was difficult. Financially, it was quite difficult. But after a couple of years, obviously, you go up in the ranks and you get a better salary. So yeah, it's financially it is tough and it is a lot to take on in terms of going from marine biology to boilers, completely different. So yeah, it was hard, but it was novel and it was new and I'm a girl in a man's world and I've always been a bit of a tomboy anyway. So that it singed to me, if I'm honest. It singed, sung.
So that's one thing I was going to ask you. Do you, now that you've been in trades for a while, do you still see it as being a man's world or do you feel that you're actually accepted?
I feel like I'm accepted in what I do. Yeah,
because that's another thing that we've had. Some people come on and say, I don't notice that I'm a lady in the trades.
Yeah.
And then we have some that go, actually, it took me a while for people on the site to actually say, you know, you're good at your job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So when I get comments like that, it actually shocks me because I don't get it very often at all.
Yeah.
Because my business is Holly's Heating Services. I named it that so that people knew that it was a girl turning up. And it's interesting because for the last 3 years, my partner, Dan, has learned how to do the servicing. I've taught him how to do the servicing on oil boilers, and he helps me along now. And he's very good at it. He's better at servicing,
You get him on the tools and you can get off.
I like it.
No. No comment. And it's actually interesting that he's turned up to jobs and the customer have opened the door and they're like,
you're not Holly.
We're expecting a woman. What are you doing here? And he's like, oh. So he's sort of seen that flip side of it. So it's really nice to notice that. But yeah, I don't get, because I work privately, I don't get that many comments. But when I do, it's like, oh yeah, I am. It sort of reminds me. So it's quite funny.
Yeah. So how did the whole sort of job change come about? How did you suddenly think, I'm going to take up a trade?
I didn't. It came to me. An opportunity came to me. It is such a random story. Someone that I knew owned a burger van and someone came into this said burger van and was looking for someone to train up on oil boilers because that person had developed an allergy to kerosene. So he couldn't work on it anymore. So he was looking up for someone to train up. And this person who owned the burger van told me about it. And then I gave him a call and I was like, an ADHD.
That is probably the most random.
pretty random.
I was ordering on the train. So do you want onions on your burger?
Yeah, really.
Looking for a trainee in a burger van. And then I went to the pub with this dude, and he was very much like he wanted to support women in the trades. And he's like, I like the fact that you're a girl, and you know.
That's good because yeah. I still feel sometimes, and this is just looking at some of the comments on social media.
Yeah.
That we still have an issue. So. Burger van?
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
And then...
Pub.
I like this, you got your priorities
rang
right.
The guy.
Sounds like a proper tradie as well.
And it was like
sounds
a
like
complete...
a good night out.
It was. I had a beer and I was like, yeah, I'll give it a go. I've tried every other job in the world, so, you know, I'll give plumber bean a go. Mm. And that was it. And then he took me on as a trainee, 40 quid a day, and... 2 years later, the company decided to stop. But it was interesting because for the 2 years that I was training, I had the phone. So customers were ringing me. And then I would be booking work in. And then I'd invoice the people. So I was like...
You're doing your own thing anyway.
I was doing my own thing anyway. I was servicing the boilers, doing the breakdowns, answering the phone, doing the invoicing. And then he's like, oh, we're deciding to get rid of the company.
Well, the funny thing is... Do you think, actually, if he hadn't have done that, yeah. You'd still be answering the phone and doing basically running a business, but
yes.
Not your own business?
I was the office lady and the engineer at the same time. So they had basically had two people's jobs in one person.
Because that's probably done you a favour that it they has. Stopped. Because then you were like, actually, I'm doing all those things anyway.
Absolutely.
It's done you a favour anyway to actually go out on your own and do your own thing because... Yeah. I didn't really have any guidance from where I was working, even like when I was working for people, big company, small company, worked for a family member. I had no guidance on how the business side of it ran. I was always good at running the lads, always good at making sure the job was completed, but I had no idea of the business side of it. And I had some like steep learning curves on that when I started.
The pricing jobs, how to be with a customer, and you know, sell yourself when you're with the customer. So you've gone out on your own because the other business has stopped.
Yeah.
And then how long have you been doing your own thing now?
My business started in 2017.
Yeah.
Still going today. Yeah. And we went limited 2022 with myself and my partner.
Good going.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Thank you.
Because most businesses actually fail within 18 months.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think at one point it was even shorter than that, but most businesses don't actually get past 18 months.
Wow.
I think there's a certain percentage that get past 12, and then that next 6 months is when the cash flow problems kick in.
Yeah, because you've had your first big tax bill. It gets 12 months, corporation tax, bosh.
See ya.
I think the natural progression from going from a sole trader to a limited company, I think that helps. Because as a sole trader, I don't want to get boring and talk about numbers and stuff.
But these are the things.
Yeah, overhead costs are a lot smaller.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I mean. Mm. And then you learn about having a buffer in the bank and you learn about how to deal with customers and complaints and things like that.
You think it's one, because you've done it.
Yeah.
But actually people that are listening to this, the amount of people go, oh, I'm a sole trader, like I've got to go limited, what do I do?
I mean, you don't have to go limited.
No, but obviously if you're earning over a certain amount.
There are benefits.
Yeah, but protections.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And the thing is, everybody worries because I've never done it before.
Ladies and gents, just a quick one to say a huge thank you to our new headline sponsor, CT1. The best sealants on the market, voted for by the British public. Not only that, it's made in Britain as well. So go and support a product and a brand that is made in the UK. But I just want to say to you, they've got a brand new product out, which is the BT1. It's a combination sealant and adhesive like the popular CT1, but it's perfect for keeping a hygienic environment. And it's designed to completely stop the growth of bacteria, microbes, and fungus. And not only that, this stuff is strong. Now, it's going to be available at Travis Perkins, Wicks, Juicens, and pretty much everywhere else. So there's no excuse not to go and give it a go. So we're really happy to be partnering with CT1.
So, we're going to come over to you now.
What burger van did you go to?
It's actually a pizza shop.
It wasn't, it was to the cocktail bar.
First of all, we need to acknowledge what Becca is drinking.
Oh, I love a cocktail.
Is this a Trade Legends first? Someone has bought their own cocktail.
So this is a Trade Legends first. D was probably the original, but with a different drink, because she was drinking Prosecco. And then she got halfway down the bottle and said, I better not drink anymore because I'll erupt on the stand. He was sat next to her. So, what are you drinking first, Beck?
Mojito.
A mojito? I like it.
Mojito.
So, obviously, we've heard Holly's story. Give us something similar. Just take us back and sort of, doesn't matter whether you left school, went straight into the trade, whatever it is. Just give us sort of how you came about to be doing what you're doing today, and don't leave anything out, because as small as you might think it is, I went from here and I did this, even the limited company sole trade a bit, somebody's going to be listening to that at home and think, I'm in that situation now.
So I wasn't a very good kid when I was growing up. I was
Sounds
in a
like
lot of trouble.
ADHD.
I think we're diagnosing everyone, aren't we?
I think we are.
Actually got kicked out of school before I was 14, got kicked out of school. No other schools would take me because I was too naughty. So I went to pre-16 at college, where really naughty kids go because they can't go to mainstream school.
One thing that I want to say about
why
this
did
is,
I get kicked out of school?
I'm not going to ask you about that. But one thing that it really surprises me is, you've been kicked out of school because you're really naughty. Let's put you with a load of other really naughty
kids. Other really naughty kids.
What logic is that? Stick you all together. Go get arrested.
I actually got kicked out of school because I set fire to the school by accident. So
I'd love to just play you down. Go,
I set fire to the brain.
It was in the toilet, so some matches, and obviously there was carpet in the toilet, and it just went woof.
I'll be honest with you, it doesn't sound very by accident at the moment.
Wow.
Do you know what? The one place that you're never going to find a match. The toilet.
Yeah. I don't want to sound like a snitch, but it does not sound like it was by accident.
I love this. I love this.
So I guess from school, I liked playing with fire, and now I've ended up in a job
Key Flint prodigy over here. I'm a fire starter.
I get paid for playing with fire now. Wow. So
Holly's gone, by the way. At this point, she's gone. It's not going to be like that. Have you seen that Radio 1 game where they spit water on each other? I'm just going to cop it in a minute.
Innuendo bingo, isn't it?
So I went from at college, you had to do brief courses. So I did a plumbing and heating, bricklaying.
I was waiting to say we stuck you in as a trainee fire
public services and hairdressing and beauty. And I picked hairdressing and beauty and the plumbing. And the hairdressing and beauty, they weren't really my type of girls.
You set fire to them.
Yeah, I wanted to. So I stuck at the plumbing, and the guys were really helpful. And then I kind of thought, I'm good at splashing around with water. So then I stayed on.
It's
I did my level
what happens
two.
After a fire is you splash the water.
I'll set it on fire, but then I'll put it out.
Yeah.
So did my level two, did my level three.
How long did that take you as well? Because everybody's different as well with these.
So these were a year courses back then. So it was a year for level one, a year for level two, a year for level three. Now it's a 4-year course.
Is it?
Wow. Yeah. So to do your level two is 4 years.
So you did it in 3?
In 3 years. And then I had a break when I was about to go into apprenticeships because I had a little boy when I was really young, and when he was 3 years old, he passed away. So I took a break out of the trade and sorting my head around that. I ended up having another baby and then went back into my apprenticeship. I found it really hard in my apprenticeship. Being a female, there are really no females in my area at that point doing anything like what I did. So I did have a lot of shit. I got called Lucy because I wasn't tightening things up enough. I look back and I laugh at it now.
I mean,
I did have it hard.
That's a great nickname, though.
I'll be honest with you. I wasn't expecting you to say what you said then. And I feel like this is why I always try and say to people, just be nice.
Yeah.
Because you don't actually know. But these people that are saying that to you, you probably didn't tell them about what's happened to you.
No, because I don't want people to pity me, because that's the worst thing. I don't want people to think, her son died. Oh, we've got to be nice to her because of that. Not at all. So, I don't publicise. This is, my first time. My close friends know. The people that know me know. But obviously, it is
a thing. How old were you when all this stuff happened?
I was in my 20s. When my son died.
Because stuff like that, like I got kids myself, like I could not imagine. Yeah. I could not imagine it. I'm not going to talk too much over it because I don't want to bring stuff up for you. But I just feel like those people that are saying that stuff to you don't realise then the effect that that has on you when you're trying to just work.
Yeah, there was a lot of crying and a lot of. But the thing is, I saw it as life's too short. And I want to do this, and I'm going to go far, and I'm going to be that ninja engineer that can do all of this, so I'm not going to let them bring me down. So I obviously just stuck and let them call me Lucy. I had it really hard. I got told, you know, you're an effing idiot and that all the time. But I progressed, did my apprenticeship, and then I got a job in social housing. And I did a long stint in social housing. I saw everything.
I was about to say, What's
the worst thing you've seen?
Somebody stabbed themselves in front of me. I've got a video. I've actually got a video of like the blood everywhere because I thought no one's going to believe me that someone stabbed
I thought you were
going
to have the video of the stabbing. I was like, where do we go with this?
Well, I'm done.
Roll the clip.
Mason was like, TikTok's gonna go off. It's gonna be.
But yeah, so they couple had an argument. Man stabbed himself, and then
she
I'm just
been
there
with Bobby
all
the chippy, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
All the boilers apart, and I'm holding all the bits fixing their boiler, and it was literally like they've got no hot water. I put everything in, and they got no hot and no hot heat in now as well. Like nothing. I literally put the boiler together. Left the property and then obviously left all my tools and everything. The police turned up and obviously I'm like, I can't go to my next job. I need my tools. I need to make the boiler safe.
Sorry, you stabbed her with the Stanley knife.
It was like, obviously because it was a crime scene and I thought, oh, like no one's going to believe me. Work aren't going to believe me. So I got my phone out and took a quick step and then I heard the police person coming back. So I took a picture of the boiler so it looked like I wasn't filming the scene. But yeah, that was probably one of the worst. I've had to climb through a window before because the drunk alcoholic that I turned up to at 8 o'clock in the morning, he had broken his door, so he was using his window as a door, so I was climbing in and out of the window to do the boiler service.
What
you've done that.
Oh my god,
yeah,
I knew you'd bloody have done it, wouldn't you?
So yeah, I've seen all sorts. I've seen some really sad cases as well. I saw a really bad dog neglect as well, where a dog was chained up in the garden. I think you remember my story about that. I obviously had to take it down because the RSPCA was involved. And they got 10 years banned from animals. But this dog was just chained up in the garden. Its neck had grown over the chain that was embedded over it. It was so skinny, and I literally said to my dog at home, you're fat and you're fed, like I'm taking your bed, I'm taking your jacket, I'm taking your food, I'm giving it to a dog that needs it more. So I obviously went and fed the dog, rung up the RSPCA, said, look, it's really bad, it's coming up to Christmas, it's freezing and it's chained up in the garden and it looks like it's gonna die. They saw my videos that I took and they went out straight away and they actually removed the dog, and then they said, we need to use you for our court case. So it went to court and they went and they got the prosecution. Saved a dog.
I'll be honest, I was not expecting any of that story.
Well, I've got a bit of a different social housing plumbing story. So when I was 16, my uncle was a carpenter at a social housing thing in Birmingham, and I went and did my week's work experience. I don't even think work experience is a thing anymore.
Was it with Mears or someone like that?
No, it was a family housing association. Okay. And I went and I did a week's work experience with them, and the whole idea was that I do a day with each trade and I'll see which one that I want to pursue then with an apprenticeship. So I did a day with like the gardener, and I did a day with like my uncle who was the carpenter, and I did a day with the plumber. And I started that day at 7:45. And by 8:10, I knew that I didn't want to be a plumber. Because he literally had shit on his arm. At 8:10 in the morning. And I was there, some 16-year-old lad out of school, and I was horrified. Like, I thought, nah, plumbing's definitely not for me. So
you could have still been a heating engineer.
Yeah, you can progress from plumbing and just...
Yeah, but you've got to go through shit on your arm first. I'm sure you have.
I've never had
shit
on my arm.
It's not a rite of passage, do you?
I've never had shit on my arm.
It's like being a vet. You've got to stick your arm up a cow's arm.
Wow.
It was enough to turn me off.
Dave was done. by the poo on his arm.
Yep, not a chance.
So I progressed from social housing, become a breakdown engineer. So I did
How long were you doing the social housing for?
6-7 years.
Yeah.
And progressed into being a breakdown engineer. So did all of my gas appliances for domestic and then all of my oil for domestic. Progressed, because obviously in social housing, if you don't put the right part in the boiler or you get the fault wrong, it's kind of like monopoly money. You can put as many parts in, just get that boiler working. And then you kind of learn from being in social housing, oh, that's actually what it is, this is what it is, and you develop your breakdown skills as a breakdown engineer. So once I had that skill set, I was then going behind other engineers, like, oh, he's got it wrong again.
I love it when that happens.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, he's got the wrong part, it's this. and then I decided to go private. I thought, you know what, I'm going to go to the private sector. So I worked for a really well-established company in my local area, and they also did commercial. So I went out with a lot of the lads that were doing commercial and helping them out, because you always have like two people when you do big jobs, sometimes even more, 4, 5, 6 of you if it's a really big commercial job. And I really loved the commercial. I loved the setting. I loved that there was no people watching you, no customers nagging you. So then obviously I worked for this company and I got all of my commercial tickets as well, commercial gas and commercial oil. So at this point I'm what they call ticketed up in the industry, where you've got all your tickets. I just don't do catering and laundry. Everything else I do. Yeah. Then that company, when I was having my other child, I was on maternity. They actually shut the business. It was running for 50 years and they shut the business as I was just about to go on maternity. So I took a redundancy. Yeah. And then after I had the baby, I joined the company where I am now. So
that, again, that must have been for you at that time. If you've been made redundant, obviously bearing in mind the stuff that happened.
Yeah,
the first time really around, like I can imagine that being quite stressful for you, because you, in your head, you just want everything to go fine with that, but then you've been told your job's gone.
Yeah, but the beauty of being ticketed up, as they say,
you can go and pick and choose.
They see my CV and they bit my hand off. When did you start?
Yeah.
And that was it. And then I love being with the company that I am now. They look after me, and I'm literally one of the lads. Like. It's quite nice because I get people that are on breakdowns and they'll ring me up and be like, Beck, I've come to this. How did you do it last time? And then I'll just give them tips and tricks. But we all bounce off each other, and it's not like...
You've just done the job for them.
Beck, how did you do this last time? Can you just face it?
Yeah, no, I don't mind helping. But then I'm the same. Like, nobody knows everything. Like, I will ring people if I'm stuck and say... got any ideas, because sometimes I overthink things, like I go too technical and they're like, have you checked the overheat stat? And I'm like, oh yeah, that's what it was.
You check that they've actually got oil.
That's
my favorite.
When you get really into it and there's no oil and you feel like that.
Yeah,
you
know, I hate that.
But yeah, so obviously I love being on site. I do some big buildings, hospitals,
don't miss
hotels.
Domestic.
No, I still do domestic, but I prefer the commercial now. I'm majority commercial, so I work a lot of military.
Yeah, I've seen some of your posts and stuff where you're fixing burners and boilers, like the size of this room.
Yeah, yeah. I go into burners and appliances that literally you climb inside to clean. So literally a heat exchanger the size of this room. So I like the big stuff. It excites me.
Is it just
there's your soundbite.
I like it big.
Nathan's like, love it, TikTok.
We're going to take that one.
There's the big stuff.
So we're going to put that on the paint.
Just again, for anybody listening or watching to this, because there's going to be some people that are in a similar situation, domestic, they've done a bit of commercial. What is it then about commercial stuff that you prefer? Is it just that it's more technical? Is it just that there's more variety? What is it that...
Oh, variety. Yeah. I do... Every day I do something completely different. But my favourite thing is playing with the burners. So I'm dealing with like 350 megawatts. That's like small. Not megawatts. 350 kilowatts.
Yeah.
And then I'll be doing like plant rooms, like 3 meg, 6 meg. So dealing with like giant burners. Huge boilers. I like the big appliances, and obviously like oil, you know, you feel like you do a proper service on oil because you take everything apart, clean all the tubulars, clean the refractory out. It's a proper job. And it's just it's easier in a plant room life for me as a female. I've had it hard in domestic, so in commercial I kind of get left alone. There's the plant room, fix the boilers. You get left alone, you get a lot more time to do your job.
Do you find it's more technical, so you feel like you've achieved a bit more than
the calculations is insane. So I have to do nozzle calculations on oil and then my gas calculations for combustion principles on
is it worse if you make a mistake in industrial there?
Yeah, so sometimes like valves don't hold off.
Then you're definitely setting the school on fire.
Kaboom!
It's more if a valve doesn't hold and you're working on like a heating main and that valve pops, then you've got like 6 bar pressure coming out. It's not like in Ethel's house. Yeah, well, not too bad. But in Ethel's house, she's like, there's water coming through the ceiling. and you're
deal
thinking,
with it.
Yeah, and you're thinking, oh, you know, but when it's coming out of a hotel, zooming out, you're thinking, oh, crap. Where's the door? But yeah, no, sometimes I have those panic moments. But then I just think, no, you did this, you did that. There's safety devices in place. Although commercial's a lot more relaxed on the regulations. So
you'd think it wouldn't be.
No. Wouldn't you? So you could actually have a gas leak that's over the permissible rate in commercial. But as long as that person, you say, you've got a gas leak in your building that's over the permissible rate, they're protected under Factories Act. And you can literally say, here's a bit of paper, sign this paper, you're now responsible for your gas leak. You can't shut down production because they could be a hospital. You can't shut down a hospital. Obviously, some factories, it's multi-million pounds they'll be losing if you turn their gas appliances
like JLR
off.
Or something like that.
Yeah, furnaces, they need a slow shutdown. So it takes about 48 hours to shut a furnace down. Sometimes, so you can't just shut the gas off.
What do people do in that situation, though?
They sign this bit of paper and then they're responsible, and then we go in and repair it.
Don't even get me started on the regulations with oil. Yeah. It is ridiculous.
It's relaxed, really relaxed on the oil. So do you know that anybody can actually work on oil? You don't even have to have a qualification in
Dan
oil. No.
Dan is qualified,
But so, yeah, you can just turn up, fiddle with an oil boiler, off you go, and that's it. And it's not regulated at all. People can do like a 1 day course. And
is that because there's no danger to it compared to gas?
Oh no, there's more danger, I think.
Oil, isn't it?
So gas, there has to be 5 to 15% combustion. So gas to air mixture to have, you know, explosion. But in oil, bang, that's it. There's no limit.
You get
it's
a spark
bang.
As well.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm going to go and play with them.
That's
why. I'm just curious.
But it needs to be regulated, doesn't it?
It's
ridiculous. It really is. Yeah. And it's like, that's why we get, especially on domestic, I don't know if you get probably get it on commercial, the homeowner has a fucking play with it before you get there. And you're like, oh, I'm trying to do this. And it's like,
that's
so
me, that is.
Not only are you having to...
Pretending I know what I'm doing with my torch at you. Yeah. It seems that it's siphoning.
Oh, that's what I thought it was. Oh.
Oil should be regulated, like gas, I think.
Absolutely.
Personally, I definitely think. And any oil engineers out there, you should join in the conversation.
You really should. And it's extremely frustrating to... Basically, you can have a boiler that is firing, but like the flue is disconnected or, you know, a gasket's gone and it's spewing flue gases into the room. I can't turn it off. If I turn it off and I isolate it, I would then be taken to court.
Yeah, you'd then be responsible
because
for it.
I'm trespassing on someone's property. With oil, the legal thing, jargon, is that the oil is the customer's property already because they pre-buy it. They have a big tank that they've already bought it. But with gas, they haven't bought that yet. It's a supply that they haven't paid for yet. So you can just
never
cap
buy
that
a house
off.
With an oil.
No.
Oil
so
supply.
It's just that. So the only thing that we can do legally is if the tank is split and it's spewing oil everywhere.
Yeah. We can turn
them to the Environment Agency. And then they are harsh because they will like dig up your foundations of your house and then you have to pay for it. And
it's like
they're 50, really bad.
It's a 50 grand fine.
You're really
at the
not
moment,
selling
it?
Oil boilers
yeah.
to
yeah.
anyone here.
It's,
do you know what? I was actually going to move to the countryside and it was
oil.
An oil. Yeah.
Was it?
Get electric. Sweet. Jeez.
Yeah. So that's why it's so frustrating,
terrible,
isn't it, to work? And then the customer will go, oh, that's all right, though, isn't it? And I'm like, why the fuck am I here then? Do you know what I mean?
I was wondering, are you too worried in the future that you're the stuff that you do will be phased out, or
no,
is there
not at all. No.
I'm not worried.
Or does it just become more specialised because less people are doing it, which actually is better for you because
prices go up.
Yeah. But the thing is, in like places like London, you're not gonna have heat pumps on blocks of flats and massive hotels and all these buildings. They won't be able to cope and run on these appliances. So there is going to be, you know, oil and gas still in all these commercial buildings. So I'm okay. And out in the countryside, little old Ethel's not going to want a heat pump, is she?
Absolutely not.
Not at the price they are, anyway.
No. And the thing is with the heat pumps as well, it's like oil is an instant heat, isn't it? Like gas, and it's an instant heat. It's a fossil fuel, unfortunately. But you know, I'm going to properties that are like 14th, 15th century with thatched roofs and single pane windows, and the cost
that,
of
that worries me as well. Thatched roof, and they're just let it leak, baby.
I had a customer with a thatched roof, and his oil tank was inside his house. I know, and I was like,
"You're like,
you need to move that."
I just found some matches in the toilet.
I'm not letting Becca come to this one.
I can just imagine her being like, "Surprise, mate."
You've not paid your bill?
Yeah. I'm going to show you the implications of this. It's a crazy environment.
What a strange world.
It is a strange world. It's very backwards, isn't it? Very farmer-esque, very...
But then look at renewables. So I briefly did renewables, and you had thermal solar hot water, and so everyone has tubulars on their roofs.
Yeah.
They were cracking, glycol was leaking in everyone's house. They went, you know what, just turn it off and drain it. So that died. Then ground source heat pumps happened, and no one wants their garden dug up again, do they, to repair it? So that died.
A lot of people don't have gardens, do they? They don't have that.
So it's
there doesn't seem to be any solution for anything, does there? That's why I'm...
Well, they're on about hydrogen, but can you imagine a hydrogen explosion?
Do you remember the Lindenburg?
Yeah, hydrogen's
like
crazy.
When they all started putting LPG, wasn't it, into cars?
I had an LPG van. Oh,
yeah. Did you?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, because my fuel was literally like 40p a litre.
Yeah, yeah.
It was brilliant.
My mate had an LPG, I think VW, it was converted.
Well, they've got HVO now, don't they? We were talking about this earlier.
Not domestic. It's not available to domestic, but you've worked on commercial,
Are you wasting time? I think that some of you probably are, and I have a solution for you. Nobody wants to do any type of admin. Now, I have a solution for you, and it is called Tradeify. It's a fully automated job scheduling, invoicing, and quoting all in one place. Now, that software is going to save you 12 hours a week, and all by using a simple software solution. Now, you can try it for 2 weeks absolutely free, no cards needed, and you'll even get support in person from Tradeify themselves. Now, when you're done, you can always come back to me and thank me, but just enjoy the extra 12 hours that you're going to gain from just using the software.
Anyway, round about this time as well, we always do like a sort of final thought, don't we, Jack? Final thought. And we sort of ask you for sort of any advice on particularly maybe a lady wanting to get into the trade and thinking.
I would love to see more females picking up commercial, because I know a lot of engineers that work in combustion and commercial across the UK, and a lot of them say, I've never heard or known of any other female in the UK doing what you do. And it's quite sad, because I've even searched online for like another female commercial engineer, and seems
have you
like...
Have you found any?
Match.com or? Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
I feel like maybe that's because if you said to a lady the word industrial, maybe they're thinking, oh, you know, it's big burly guys or whatever, and getting put off by that. Maybe I don't know what it is, because you two are ladies. So what things were sort of holding you back, or were you worried about when you did it, or has it changed now where you don't actually? You know, you don't think
about it. I was worried
I
wasn't going to be strong enough. But then now I'm in it, I realise, you know what, I'm actually stronger than I think I am. Yeah. And there's always people to help as well. So don't ever be afraid or try and struggle. Like in commercial, you have multiple people doing things for a reason. Like even some of the biggest lads to get a heat exchanger stripped out of, like say the Hamworthies that pop, their heat exchangers, those huge ones. I rode one the other day. Yeah, I rode one the other day. On my
I know,
Instagram.
I saw it.
So that big one, that'll take four blokes to move it, like four big blokes. So there's always, you know, not even a guy will admit, you know, not being able to do it on his own. You have to have
David.
I literally feel like I want to try now.
Sorry, should do take you to film it and be like,
yeah.
Becca, can you help me with this?
So yeah, there's always people to help. Mm. And there's also great tools on the market as well. Mm. Straps, or although I wouldn't get one of those exosuits. Have you seen
that? The exoskeleton. Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far.
So what about you then, Holly? What's your bit of advice or your thing that you'd like to any knowledge you'd like to pass on? That's
don't give a fuck what anyone else thinks. That's basically it.
That's a good
and get a tent.
Get a tent, get a decent sack barrow, and no, just don't care. Don't care what people think. They're like, oh, what do you want to do that for? And just like, because you want to. Mm. That's my number one bit of advice.
That's another thing I wanted to just quickly ask you before we stop was, did anybody in your family give you any sort of like snide comments or things about being in the trade? Because that's another thing that I find is a lot of people, like some people's families, you know,
they love
third,
it.
They're third generation, everyone's a tradie, but then some, it's like nobody else was, and trades.
Oh no, they love it. They're like free boiler service. Mum gets free boiler service every year, right. And my sister.
I think I got my work ethic from my dad, I think. My dad was a business owner himself, although in a completely different sector, but I saw how hard he worked, and I was like, yeah, I want to do that. I want to be my own boss. And so I got that from him. So when I told him that I was going to train to be a heating engineer, he was like, good. And then that was it. That's all I needed.
A lot of approval.
Yeah, all right. And then my mum was like, she was a bit nervous, I think. I had the option of learning to be a secondary school science teacher or a plumber, heating engineer at the same time. These two opportunities came up.
I presume biology teacher.
Do you know what? Fucking physics.
Oh, shoot me now.
I hate physics.
Shoot me now.
Hate physics. I was like, can I do biology? And they were like, no. Physics. I was like, no. So obviously I took the heating engineer. So I think my mum was a bit nervous about it. But
thank God for this burger van. All
thank
I'm
thank
say.
God for the burger van. But yeah, and now she's proud as punch. And obviously I've been doing it. I've never done, my mum's been telling me all my life that what I should and shouldn't do. And I've never listened to her, bless her. Sorry, mum. But I've never listened to her. And 7 years down the line, we're still trading and stuff, and she's proud. Yeah,
that's good.
Do you do a free boiler service for her too?
Nah, because I'm not qualified.
Oh, she's got gas.
Yeah, I'm not qualified for gas. Yeah, I'm not qualified for gas at all. I never went to college. Never did.
Do you reckon an oil
usual
boiler would fit in her garden? Hook her up with the oil. Free service.
No,
I'll lift it in if you need me. So.
Yeah. With his exoskeleton. Hello, I'm Dave. Why is that guy walking funny?
Oh, he's just the new apprentice.
He's just got poo on his arm.
He's just got
Dave with the poo on his arm.
Yes, so that would be my advice. Just don't care what people think. Just do your own thing. Be you. That's it.
I like it.
That's it.
Thank you very much.
Everyone else can go fuck themselves.
No, thank you very much for coming on.